so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone desire, and I long to worship you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the head of all principality and power. And Father, I ask that you would bless this teaching as it goes out this week over the airways and over the internet. I'll give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, my name is Gerald Finney. I'm a believer first, a lawyer second. In these studies, I am teaching on separation of church and state, the biblical principles, and the American application. If you will follow these studies, you will get an understanding of the issue of separation of church and state from a biblical point of view. Now, you can go to my website, churchandstatelaw.com, and there you'll find a radio broadcast page. All these programs are being archived after their broadcast. Let me encourage you to go there if you've missed broadcasts and get caught up. This is a preeminent issue. It's near and dear to the heart of God according to the Word of God. Now I'm briefly going to teach on apostasy at the end of the church age. After that, I will briefly teach on the church will reign with the Lord. And finally, at the end of this first 15-minute segment, I will conclude this study of the biblical doctrine of the church. Now let me go to the topic, apostasy at the end of the church age. The Lord says to the church of the Laodiceans at the end of the church age and at the final stage of the apostasy of the church, we read in Revelation 3 verses 15 through 19, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of my gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Bible teaches that at the end of the church age, the Lord will be outside the Laodicean church. Nonetheless, he will still be there for the individual, just as he, while on earth as the second Adam, still appealed to the individual after the nation Israel rejected his rule over the nation. Revelation 3:20 says, If any man will hear my voice, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. The final result of the apostasy will be the great ecclesiastical harlot spoken of in Revelation 17 and 18. In Revelation 17 is Mystery Babylon, the apostate church. I'm now going to quote from the book Revelation, Volume 1, by Dr. J. Vernon McGee on page 89. Quote, The church of Thyatira, described in Revelations 2, 18 through 29, which permitted Jezebel to teach, will become the apostate church of the Great Tribulation. It will attain the goal of the present-day apostates of all the great systems of the world. Romanism, Protestantism, pagan religions, cults, and isms. Even in our so-called independent Bible churches, there will be those who are not believers, and during the tribulation, they will join this great organization that may call itself a church, but is not. The Bible calls it a harlot. This is Ecumenical Ecclesiasticism of the One World Church. I continue quoting Dr. McGee. The true church will not go through the Great Tribulation. It will be raptured out before the tribulation begins. The church will be raptured is a collective term meaning all true believers, those who are in Christ. The rest of the church members will be left here on this earth to go through the Great Tribulation. Dr. George Gill used to say, some churches will meet the Sunday after the rapture and will not miss a member. They are not part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never calls them his church. He calls it a harlot. It is a pseudo-religious system which controls the wild beast during the first half of the Great Tribulation. Yet it is hated by him. During the last half of the tribulation, the beast destroys the harlot in order to set up his own religion. Close quote. True believers, the true church, will be glorified. Matthew 13:36-43, Romans 8:18-23. The Lord will rapture the dead in Christ and the true church. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Naturally, Satan hates the doctrine of the rapture. He attacked it through the theology of the Catholic Church starting in the 4th century. He has attacked it through the theologies of some Protestant churches. And now he is attacking it even in fundamental Bible-believing churches. I have an excellent sermon that addresses the rapture question. You can find that sermon on the sermon page of geraldfinney.wordpress.com. geraldfinney.wordpress.com. Ecclesiastical Babylon speaks of apostate Christendom, the harlot whom many biblical scholars logically conclude will be headed up under the papacy and which will at that time condone every iniquity of the rich and will be corrupted to the core by commercialism, wealth, and luxury. This ecclesiastical Babylon will be destroyed by political Babylon, that is, by the nations. And political Babylon, the nations, will be crushed by Christ when they come against Israel at the end of the tribulation. See, for example, Revelation 17:15-18. All this will happen because men choose to succumb to Satan's principles in order to satisfy their lusts. That brings me to my next topic. There is good news. The church will reign with the Lord. True Christians have the ultimate hope. They will reign with the Lord. This should be a cause for great rejoicing as well as incentive to be responsible members of the body of Christ and to make sure that every effort is made to glorify God and assure that a church remains totally under Christ in every way. The Holy Spirit is now calling out not the subjects but the co-heirs and co-rulers of the kingdom. 2 Timothy 2:11-12 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Revelation 1:6 says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Revelation 3:21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Revelation 5:10 says, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Romans 8:15-18 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3 says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life. Now, please permit me to make some concluding remarks concerning the doctrine of the church. The Supreme Ruler ordained the church as he ordained civil government. He gave churches as he has given every individual, family, and civil government his word, wherein they can learn God's guideline, which he wishes his body, the church, as well as all other governments, to follow. Satan has successfully misled most churches and other governments, and most have followed his principles. He has used false teachers from the beginning. As a result, apostasy crept into the church shortly after its inception. That apostasy has accelerated in America as the rapture and the tribulation approaches. Many or most people in American churches today are rich, but spiritually blind. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. As he was not deceived, but his bride was. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. 1 Timothy 2:14, Romans 5:14, Genesis 3:1 6. As the first Adam had to give up a perfect existence in order to be with his wife, so the last Adam, Christ, stepped down from heaven to save his bride. 1 Corinthians 15:22 and 45. John 3:16-19 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Philippians 2:6-8 says, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. While the first Adam blew it, the last Adam would make everything right. Romans 5:12-21. Charles Wesley set this doctrine to music with the words, Second Adam from above, reinstate us with thy love. The all-important verse that connects this typology to the present Laodicean apostasy is Ecclesiastes 1:9a. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. Thus the history of mankind will undoubtedly end the same way it began, with a bride being deceived. Regardless of this inevitable apostasy and the events that are to follow, things are looking good for you and me. That is, if you are a Christian who is following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian, as opposed to one who is merely saved, is a saved person who also dies to self and seeks to follow God's principles. As verified by reality and by biblical teachings, many saved people are not Christians. That completes my study of the biblical doctrine of government and the biblical doctrine of the church. In the second 15-minute segment following the break, I will begin a study of the biblical doctrine of separation of church and state. This is a doctrine that very few Christians know and understand. These studies are archived on the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com, spelled just like it sounds. Again, my name is Gerald Finney. I'm a lawyer who practices law in Austin, Texas.